peace be upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's descendants and the Sahaba, for the stars of guidance and prophet gauges of the noble Quran, and also for those believers who are their followers in faith. Last week I explained one incident where Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was making hijrat, and hijrat means moving from one place to another place, and hijrat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam means that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he moved on the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. And the Kufar and the Orientalist and short-sighted Muslims, they sometimes translate hijrat as flight of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wazallah, it's no flight. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not flee from anybody. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not afraid of propagating the truth. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam moved from one place to another place, waiting for the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So while he was moving, while Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was moving, then Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said that because of the heat, he carried Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The other incident I narrated to you was that on the conquest of Mecca, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Ali that, O Ali, when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that, Ya Rasulullah, that you stand on my shoulder, that you stand on my shoulder and break those idols or scratch those carvings and knock down those images. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, O Ali, that no, instead you stand on my shoulder and you scratch those images and you knock down those idols. You see, in the Kaaba, the Mushrikeen, they had carve work inside, and they had images inside of the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Hazrat Ali that you come on my shoulders. Hazrat Ali got on Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's shoulders, and then he, with a stick, he knocked down those idols, he pushed down those images, and he removed those things. What we deduce from there is very simple, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to carry him, because after the passing away of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu will be the most fittest to carry the work of Nabuwwat, or to carry the responsibility of Nabuwwat, and to carry the duties of Nabuwwat. His most fitting and most capable and able person was Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Ali is the first Khalifa in Islam. And by this story we get an indication that the first Khalifa was be Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That's why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed Hazrat Abu Bakr to carry Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now there is another point, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everything that comes from him, his words are pure, his statements are pure, his smiling is pure, the saliva that comes from his mouth is pure, the mucus that comes from his throat is pure, the mucus that comes from his nose is pure, the stool and urine of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is also absorbed by the earth. That is why when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should make stool or pass out urine, immediately the soil should absorb it. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he had an eye ailment in the Battle of Khaybar, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he gave Hazrat Ali the banner and told him, O Ali, that you now must be the leader, the commander-in-chief, the lieutenant-in-chief, then Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that, Ya Rasulullah, I've got an eye ailment. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his saliva and applied it on the eye of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Ali was immediately relieved and he was able to see from saliva of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One Sahabi after the instructions of Hazrat Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when a Jew was insulting him, when a Jew was insulting Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and satirizing the women folk of Islam, the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, on his indication, when Sahabi went and executed him, and on his return that Sahabi fell down and had his leg fractured. But because of joy and because of ecstasy, the Sahabi began to run and run, and until he reached Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he realized, oh, my leg is fractured. This happens. It happens due to fear, or it happens due to love. Two times, sometimes you don't feel pain. For example, if there is an animal chasing you, or a dog chasing you, or some very big crook is chasing you, then if you have to jump over high fence too, then inshallah you'll do it. And you'll do it, and in the process if you get hurt, then you won't feel the pain also. You won't feel the pain. Only when you get back and lie on your bed, then you realize half the body has been broken in the procedure. But when you're jumping the fence, and when you're running away from the dog, or you're running away from that big echoid, then no pain is felt, because you are now in a different thought now. Now in a different mood now, of fleeing. Similarly, if you are running with ecstasy of love, if you are running towards your beloved, if you are running towards something that you like, if you are running towards something that is dear to you and valuable to you and worth for you, then also, like how the people run after the world, because the world is something that they start loving. So the way the people start loving the world, then they do anything for the love of the world. Even if they get hurt in the process of seeking the world, they will do it. Sahaba had love for Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is why when his leg was fractured, he never even realized it. He ran right to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he got there. Then he told Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, informed him that, Ya Rasulullah, that I have done on your indication the execution of that Jew. And then my leg is paining, my leg is fractured and broken. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, stretch out your leg. The Sahabi stretched his leg. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took his hand and he passed it over the Sahabi's leg. And the Sahabi reports that if, let alone the fracture, I did not even realize that at any time my leg was broken throughout my whole life. That was the touch of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The perspiration of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is reported that they should preserve it and they should use it as ittar. They should use it as ittar, where the perspiration of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was such fragrance. When Sahabi narrates that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam touched me when I was a child on my head, he touched me and his hands were spread all over me, over my head. The Sahabi says, I lived to a very elderly age, but not one of my hair became white in the procedure, because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hand touched me. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that I try to prove that everything that comes from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is pure. And those people who speak ill of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala should take heed. Why? Because on the journey of Hijrat, in the cave, who was there? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And what happened in that cave? That Rabbi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to rest. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, rest on my thigh. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his Mubarak head on the thigh of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and rested. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had meanwhile sealed up the various holes in that cave. And one hole was not sealed. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala with his foot outstretched, he sealed that hole. Now when he had his foot outstretched and he sealed that hole, then an insect began to sting him and bite him. As a result, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, he began to feel the pain, especially when there is an insect and it shoots the poison inside or shoots the venom inside, and at times you can feel it moving in you. Then Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, due to pain, and one side he said, if I move my leg and if I jump or I jerk, then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be awakened. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be awakened, that will be discomfort for him. So I rather bear the pain. and rather withstand the pain and fight the pain, so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he can be comfortable. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in the procedure, he began to tear and he began to cry because the pain was severe. When he began to cry and tear, then his tears dripped down and they fell onto the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They fell onto the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know also that the flies also, the flies should not sit on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That no dirty thing should come upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And things coming out of his body are pure, things reaching him are pure, and he has got pure wives, and those who are close around him are pure. So the tears of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu must be pure in order to touch Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand? The tears of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu must have been pure, and they're definitely pure, that's why they touch Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, those who try to speak ill of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu should take heed, because he is the one, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ill and ailing and sick, then he told Abu Bakr, you lead the Salah. It shows that how the status of Sahaba, we should be very careful concerning Sahaba and speak proper things about them, and love them and honor them and revere them. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdu wa sallallahu ala Rasulil Kareem. We were discussing the ayat, Ihdinas Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, and after that we discussed the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was grant us hidayat and grant us hidayat on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. And I was describing to you their extremes and I was giving you examples, and I told you that in tafsir lessons I am very open and I discuss things properly so that you have satisfaction in your mind that we are on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, that we are on the Haqq, that we are from the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jamaah, that we are treading the path which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desire from us. And we should not be extreme in any view. See, the people, there is one group who say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got no shadow. And one group say Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got shadow. And that group that says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got no shadow, and they insist on it. And they declare those other group, they say those people who say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got a shadow, they say those people are disrespectful, that those people are out of the fold of Islam. They go to the extreme. We, however, state very clearly that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got a shadow and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got no shadow. Both views we hold. How we hold this view? Very simple. In the hadith, we're getting both types of hadiths coming to us. That wherein it is stated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a shadow, and wherein it is stated to us that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no shadow. Now, what is the matter? Why do we hold such a view? So, it is very simple. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he left his house, he had no shadow. And the clouds should constantly be a shadow for, be a shelter for him. And the reason why he had no shadow when he was outside, because everything of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is blessed. The kuffar and the mushriks and those people who are dirty, they must not trample upon even the shadow of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They must not even hurt the shadow of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the house, when he came in the house, then there is report that he had a shadow. So in the house, he had a shadow. Outside the house, no shadow. So we should not make a hue and a cry about it and say that those people who say he got a shadow are like this, and those people who say he hasn't got a shadow are like that. Now, this extreme point of view is causing all the problems of disunity. If we have a neutral view, if we have a moderate view, if we have a medium view, and khayr umuri awsatuha, that if we have a moderate view, and the best of views is the medium view, is the middle path. And we, as Ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are the khayr ummah because we are the best of ummah, because we are Ummat al-Wasata, we are the middle nation. And we do not hold extreme. For example, the people who say that about wasila. Wasila means that you make dua. You make dua, Ya Allah, that through the good deeds of a certain person, accept my dua. Now there is one view that they say, no, that you can use wasila directly. You can ask the person in the grave and he will answer. Or you can ask the Nabi directly, he can answer. Or you can ask Rasulullah sallallahu directly, he will answer. Fulfiller of deeds is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfiller of wants is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remover of difficulties is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bringer of difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bringer of calamities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remover of calamities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, no, you don't understand this. And they give an example, two, three examples. They say that if you have to go to the rooftop, then you have to use a ladder to get there. And they present this argument in so flowery words and emotional words that the people who are listening and the best who are listening and the crowds that are listening, they said, yes, yeah, very logical this is. That if you have to go to the rooftop, you must use the ladder. So they say, that is why if you are to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you must use Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must use Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. You must use Falah Shah, Falah Peer Sahib. Otherwise, how you will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we say in reply, listen to the reply, that you see, we argue on your own argument, on your own precepts. Say, see, that you say that if you are to reach the rooftop, you must use a ladder. And then you say that if you are to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you must use the saint, you must use the peer sahab, you must use the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, you must use Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say you are very disrespectful. And you are dishonoring the Nabi, and you are dishonoring Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are dishonoring all the peers. So why? It's very simple. That when you use a ladder and you reach the rooftop, that is the ladder of any use after that. Is the ladder of any use? The ladder is of no use now. Why? You have reached the rooftop already. Because you are on the roof now. You don't require the ladder. The ladder becomes useless. The ladder is of no use anymore. So that means if you are saying that once you use the Anbiya, the Nabi, the Peer, and the Saint to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens to the Anbiya? What happens to the Rasul? And what happens to the Saint? That means you have just discarded them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says clearly in the Quran al-Kareem that I am closer to you than your jugular vein. I am closer to you than your jugular vein. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can listen. Is the one who is listening all the time. And there are two qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which I discussed. He is Rahman, He is Rahim. And He is merciful, He is gracious, He is most merciful. Now if you say that if you have to use a ladder, that means you are trying to say that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not Rahim, not Rahman, He is not merciful anymore. You have to use these intermediaries. Then what is the difference between us and the Christians who say that no, you have to, and Jesus died for the sins of men, and now Jesus is the Savior, and Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is the intermediary between us and God. Our ideology becomes like this. Our beliefs become like this. So we should be very careful. Now they also say here that if you are to reach a very big person, then you have to go via his peon. You have to go via his secretary. You have to make an appointment. And then you reach the big setsan. And then you reach the boss. Before you get to the boss, you have to go through all these surrogates, these chamchas, these spoons. And then you have to come to the boss. So we say, and then the people get very thrilled about this. Yes, it's right. See how logical this is. Before we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must go through all these other saints and walis and peer and anbiya and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, wow. And they will shout nara takbir in the whole procedure. And what a good argument. So we say, see, and here you are giving such an example and you are very foolish. You are comparing the boss to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is wrong. And then you are comparing the servants of the boss and you are linking them with anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam. How disrespectful of you. Then you say, see, listen here. That first of all, when the boss is sitting in his room and if someone wants to meet him, does the boss know that? He doesn't know that. If the person comes outside and talks to his peon or his secretary and says, I want to meet so and so, does the boss know that? He doesn't know that. Why? He doesn't know what's happening behind the wall. If someone wants to phone the secretary or to speak to the boss doesn't know that. The boss is not all hearing. The boss is not hazir nazir. The boss is not a remover of difficulties. The boss is no creator. The boss is no nourisher. The boss has got limited powers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows. If you stand up in the night and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He listens to you. He does not require anyone to pass the message to Him. Then you come for salat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that as-salatu mi'raj al-mu'mineen. That salat is a mi'raj of the Muslim mu'mineen. Al-Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that salat is a mi'raj of the mu'mineen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another hadith stated that, do you want to whisper to your Rabb? Sahaba said yes. He said, make salat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went for mi'raj, the climax of Mi'raj was when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he had a discourse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that discussion took place, that was Mi'raj. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that when a person is in salat, he's having a discourse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is stated that when a person reads, when he reads, for example, every ayat, that the malaika reply to him. It is stated for every ayah that he reads that the malaika reply to him. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the malaika reply to his ayat recitations. That is why it is stated that when you read Quran, when you read Quran in the salat, that read it slowly. So that you are getting your replies and you are getting blessed for what you are reading. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that if you are to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you must go via this way or you go via that way or you go via that intermediary. No, he never said those things. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, He is merciful, He listens to our du'as, He listens to our pleas, He listens to our begging and our crying, then we don't require any other means to reach them. However, now what Guru Pati says here, that wasila is completely out of the question. That is the group now of the Najdis. They say wasila is completely out of the question. And one group says, all types of wasila are jais. And we say, no, that it is not completely out of the question, and not every type is jais. Yes, what is jais? Then if you go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave, oh, you make dua, Ya Allah ta'ala, accept my dua through the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Through the good deeds of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the goodness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Allah, accept my du'as. That is permissible according to us. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says that even if a person makes a good action, he does a good action, for example, he gave some charity, then he can come and say, Ya Allah, I gave charity for your pleasure. I gave charity to only please you. Ya Allah, accept my du'as. For example, a person helped, a simple action he did. Someone wanted to cross the road with a heavy parcel. He helped that person to cross the road with a heavy parcel. I did that. Ya Allah Ta'ala, I did that only to please you. Ya Allah Ta'ala, for your pleasure, only for your pleasure, Ya Allah, accept my dua. So all these forms, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi says, they are jais. So we see that now, wasila, those two extremes of wasila too, that we should not adopt those two extremes of wasila and adopt the middle way. It is stated, for example, now, well, very big wasila that comes across, and it is always discussed. That one group says, no, that the issue of salami, they say, no, you must read salami, and it is compulsory to you to read salami, and it is practically compulsory for you to read salami, how we read salami. And that is, you must stand and read salami, and you must do it in this fashion, and you must do it particular times. Then there is one group, for example, those in the Arab states, they say, all this is nonsense. Wow, we don't have to hear about the salami. And in fact, what they did was that certain people from Indo Pak, they came, and they came in a group. I hear they came in 100 or so, and they began to read the salami. How they do it in Indo-Pak and how some brothers do it here in South Africa also. They began to do it in one place in Madinatul Munawwara. The government there came to know, immediately got onto the scene and deported them within 24 hours back to Indo-Pakistan. They said, we don't want all this here, please. Out from them. Now, the other brothers, they say, no, no, no. You must have salami and you must stand and read the salami, and you must shout and read the salami, you must chorus and read the salami, and you must read it like, why? Because Rasulullah is coming to that majlis, and he is present, and he comes to that majlis. So we come in the center, and we hold the middle part, we hold the moderate part, and we say, see, we are not saying you not to read salami. No way we are saying you salami is haram. No way we are saying your salami is not jahil. No way we are saying that if you make salami that you become a mushrik. And no way we are saying that salami is out of the fold of Islam. No way we are saying that salami is wrong. What we are saying that everything in Shariat has got a method. Everything in Shariat has got a method and a prescribed method. If you do it in the prescribed method, that act becomes jahil. And if you do that thing in the wrong method, that act will not reap the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at times, it will be wrong, absolutely wrong. For example, to make you understand, that a fowl is slaughtered in a particular way. A fowl is slaughtered in a definite way as prescribed by Shariat. And all of us know that particular way. Now if a person takes a fowl and decides, you know, that he should slaughter the fowl, not from the dead side, from the other side, and he decides he's going to stop the slaughtering, or he's going to wrench the neck out, then what we will say? That this person is doing things wrong. He's not doing things according to Shariat. He's not doing things how Allah and His Rasul want him to do things. Now, of course, Salat is made in a particular way. And if a person comes and starts doing the Salat in a different way, they say, no, don't do this. Now, look, you know, I know that Salat at three times. It's not correct. Salat in three times is not correct. That means the sun is rising, sun is setting, and when the sun is at its zenith, at zawal time, then salat is prohibited. That good action is prohibited. That good action is not permissible. That good action is not desirable. That good action, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it. Salat, who does not recognize the goodness of salat? But during the time, no, not recognized. For example, before Eid Salat. Before Eid Salat, there is no Salat. You can't go into the Eidgah, or you can't go into the Masjid where Eid is performed and start making Salat. It's not a good action. It happened during the time of Hazrat Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه. That one person, while Hazrat Ali was getting ready to make the khutbah, and started, in fact he started the khutbah of the Eid, that one person was making Salat. So Hazrat Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه told him, don't make your Salat. That person said, that why must I not make the salat? See the reasoning. Why must I not make the salat? Is not salat a good action? Is not salat a good action? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, yes, salat is a good action. Who can deny that? That salat is not a good action. But Hazrat Ali went on to say that salat is a good action, provided it is performed on its prescribed times. And this salat that you are making, you are not going to be rewarded for that, and it is a vain action. It is a vain action. So that person said, how can this be a vain action? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala replied, it is a vain action because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform salat before the Eid namaz. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform salat before the Eid namaz, then your action is vain, and later on getting you sawab, it will get you the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will get you the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say, see, salami is jais. Now which salami is jais? That salami which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Now one is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught what salami to us. And one is that this is the 20th century production, or the factory made production. Then we are not going to be able to follow that production. We are not going to understand the thing. So, we will do which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us to do. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we must read At-Tayyiyat and then we must read Durood Ibrahim. These are the best things for us to do in Salah. And these things will reap us reward. Why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, taught the Sahaba, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, we say, come in the hadith, then we should read this particular type of salami. Now the other salami is nowhere proven. The standing, reading, chorusing, and to do it now after nikahs, and to do it after burial now, and now to do it in Jummah time, then to do it on the big nights. Now these things are not proven in Shariat. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم never do it. Hazrat Abu Bakr رضي الله تعالى never do it. Khulafa'i Rashidi never do it. Hazrat 124,000 Sahaba, they never do it. The Tabi'in, they never do it. The Tabi' Tabi'in, they never do it. Right up to the time of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ali, he never even do it. Now, that means if we are doing it and we are saying that we are getting sawab and we are getting tremendous sawab by it, that means they never understood the deed. We understand the deed. They never see the benefit of it. We understand the benefit of it. Deed is complete. That means if we are going to add on this deed of Rasulullah, that we are saying the deed is not complete. Now, and the method of doing it, they say, no, see, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to that majlis or comes to that place. So we say, if he comes to that place, you hold what belief is. It's called Hazir Nazir. They say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Hazir Nazir. When you ask them, what is Hazir Nazir? They say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is omnipresent. Omnipresent means there to be here, there, and everywhere at one at the same time. And I just told you that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat. And hijrat means to move from one place to another place. Right? To move from one place to another place. That means hijrat. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah, he was not in Medina. When he was in Medina, he was not in Makkah. That means he is not omnipresent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he made Miraj, when the night of Miraj took place, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhanallah, Asra bi'abdihi